Today on Pearls of Great Price, author Veronica Hughes reads passages from the lives and teachings of the saints. She shares her thoughts on each passage's wisdom.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. O Lord, thou shalt open my lips, and my mouth shall declare thy praise. Welcome, this is Pearls of Great Price, and I'm Veronica Hughes, your host. Thank you for tuning in if you're a return listener, and welcome if you are new. So this month on OCN, we're honoring all those being persecuted for Christ's sake. And to help us to draw closer to those who are being martyred and persecuted for the faith in the Middle East, I have chosen passages from the great Synaxaresis of the Orthodox Church about the Holy Maccabean Martyrs, a passage from the prologue by St. Nikolai Velimirovic, and a passage from St. Maximus the Confessor. So let's start with the Bible and what Christ has to say about those who are persecuted. Excuse me. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So we all know these words from the Beatitudes. And now for a passage from St. Nikolai. When the military governor wanted to make Marinus, the soldier, who is commemorated on August 7th, an officer, an envious man denounced him as a Christian. The governor gave Marinus 3 hours to think and to choose life or death, to deny Christ or to die. Marinus, hearing the words of his superior, went to the local bishop, Theotechnus, to ask his advice. The bishop took him into the church, stood him before the gospel, and then, indicating first the gospel and then the sword that Marinus was wearing, said to him, "Choose, brave man, one of these two, either carry a sword and serve the transient king, being lost eternally at your death, or become a soldier of the King of Heaven and lay down your life for his holy name, recorded in this book, and reign with him in immortal life." Marinus at once took up his mind, Marinus at once made up his mind, kissed the holy gospel, and went out to go to death and to life immortal. Well, that's a pretty powerful passage, and I'm sure that many of our brethren have experienced something very similar to this in Iraq right now. So now we're going to go on to the Maccabean martyrs, and I was deeply moved by their martyrdom story, and when you read the entire length of it and you see what they went through, it is so absolutely aligned and similar to accounts that we read of Christian martyrs. And whether martyrdom is thrust on a Christian or chosen, as we've seen with many saints when they actually choose to go to martyrdom voluntarily, I think the footnote that I found associated with the Maccabean martyrs pretty much sums up what we as Christians believe about martyrdom and our future in Christ after death. Martyrdom is considered a good death for a Christian. So here's a short summary for those of you that are not familiar with the Holy Maccabees. They suffered for their faith in 167 BC at the hands of the infamous Antiochus IV Epimanes. And here's a brief summary of their contest. First, the holy priest Eleazar, who was 90 years old, was tortured and withstood all attempts to tempt him away from God. Then all seven sons of Salome Maccabee, one by one, were tortured in front of their mother for their faith. Salome did not weep, but encouraged her sons in their struggle and contest. I can't even imagine what that would have been like for a mother, except we do have some understanding of that with the Mother of God and her sufferings in witnessing her son martyred. When her last son, this is Salome's son, 3 years old, remained steadfast and refused to eat meat sacrificed to idols, he was more severely tortured than all his brothers combined, and finally thrown into the flames. Salome then threw herself into the flames with her son, so as to remain untouched and join her children in life eternal. What mourning with joy did I feel when I read the full account of their sufferings, as I do when I read about all Christians being persecuted and killed in Iraq and throughout the world. I have the same feelings on Holy Friday. So let us explore a little further the roots of martyrdom so we can pray for those being persecuted from the right orientation. And I'm just going to give a little historical background now on the Holy Maccabees and the Book of the Maccabees. The source of their lives was a series of books relating to events centering around Judas Maccabeus and other heroes and heroines in the Jewish struggle for religious and political freedom. During the 3rd and 2nd centuries before Christ, persecution was unleashed against the Jews by Egyptian and Syrian kings, particularly the infamous Antiochus IV Epimanes. These books of the Maccabeans have special characteristics not usually seen in other books of the Old Testament. And this is the footnote I found. So it has several points. The first one, these books show martyrdoms as a substitutionary atonement that expiates a nation's sin and purifies the land. For they, the Maccabees, winning admiration not only from men in general, but even from their persecutors for their manliness and endurance, became a means of the destruction of the tyranny against their nation. Having conquered the tyrant by their endurance, so that by them their country was purified. That's from 1 Maccabee 1:11. And the nation through them obtained peace, and having renewed the observance of the law in their country, drove the enemy out of their land. This is 4 Maccabean 18:4. So now this is my commentary on this note. As with the Lord, his death became the means for the destruction of tyranny. So too, we see here that Christian martyrs bring about the destruction of the tyrant, the devil, working through men. As with our Savior, his voluntary death was an atonement for our sins. Thus we also see here that martyrs' sacrifice is intimately connected with a deeper spiritual atonement. God brings good out of evil. We, with our worldly eyes, cannot see the hidden spiritual battles that are being fought in Iraq or other countries where our brethren are being persecuted. We must hope for our brethren. Their blood is not spilled in vain. Our brethren in the Middle East are suffering in the hallowed grounds of our Jewish forefathers and many countless saints of the Church. Okay, so now the second point in this footnote. Martyrs are immediately immortal, received by the patriarchs, and living in God. They believed that to God they die not, for as our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they live in God. This was 4 Maccabean 7:19. So we, as Christians, must take consolation in our Lord. Christian martyrs receive crowns of victory and are immediately raised to heaven. That's a good thing. Okay, the third footnote. 2 Maccabees especially celebrates the deeds of the martyrs and that the repose saints pray for us on earth. Ozias, who had been high priest, a virtuous and good man, prayed for the whole body of the Jews. This being done, in like manner, there appeared a man with gray hairs, and exceeding glorious, who was of a wonderful and excellent majesty. Then Ozias answered, saying, This is a lover of the brethren, who prayeth for the people, and for the holy city, to wit, Jeremias the prophet of God. Thereupon Jeremias, holding forth his right hand, gave to Judas Maccabeus a sword of gold, and in giving it spake thus, Take this holy sword, a gift from God, with which thou shalt wound the adversaries. This is from 2 Maccabees 15:11-16. So the church triumphant is in heaven and praying for all Christians on earth, and we are the church militant here on earth. We are fighting the good fight, each one of us in our own arena. Therefore, and now we come into the fourth footnote, the living too may also pray and offer sacrifices for the dead. Judas Maccabeus came up to take the bodies of the men that had been slain, in order to give them a proper burial. He soon discovered that idols were hidden under their coats. Thus God permitted them to be slain. Judas and his men betook themselves unto prayer and besought God that the sin committed might wholly be put out of remembrance. That's very important. So some of our brethren that are in Iraq may have died with and not been completely purified of their sins. So we can betake ourselves unto prayer and beseech God that the sin committed might wholly be put out of remembrance. Okay, now back to this quote. Besides that, noble Judas exhorted the people to keep themselves from sin. So we ourselves must keep ourselves from sin. Back to the quote. And when he had made a gathering throughout the company of the sum of 2,000 drachma of silver, he sent it to Jerusalem to offer a sin offering. He did therein very well and honestly, in that he was mindful of the resurrection. For if he had not hoped that they that were slain should be risen again, it would have been superfluous and vain to pray for the dead. And also, in that he perceived that there was great favor laid up for those that died godly. It was a holy and good thought. Thereupon he made expiation for the dead, that they might be delivered from sin. This passage was from 2 Maccabees 12:42. So let's go over the important points again from this footnote. The living too may also pray and offer sacrifice for the dead. Thereupon he made expiation for the dead, that they might be delivered from sin. So we can raise our prayers for the holy ones that have died and our suffering ones. Our prayers make a difference. They betook themselves unto prayer and besought God that the sin committed might be wholly put out of remembrance. So again, some of those who have died may not have been free from sin. So let us pray that God accept their sacrifices and our prayers and their suffering in his name. We are mindful of the resurrection, that there is great favor laid up for those that die godly. Each of us has a talent that we cannot keep hidden with regards to our suffering brethren in Christ and their family members who are worried beyond worry here in the U.S. and other countries for their loved ones in dangers. That talent is our prayers. So let us pray to God. Pray for the strengthening of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are being persecuted, as Salome, the mother of seven children, prayed for her sons and supported them through their trials and torments by her prayers, and as the Mother of God supported our Lord. Let us pray for the Christians who cannot flee or choose or have chosen not to flee the persecutions taking place in Iraq. And we need to pray for God to give them courage, as Salome prayed for her children to have courage. Let us pray that their hearts stay connected with their Creator, focusing on their life in Christ to come. Let us pray for their families abroad, that they do not lose hope and can bear the cross now thrust upon them in a Christian manner for the salvation of their souls. For those fleeing, we need to pray for their safe passage and endurance. And finally, let us not fall into despair and doubt the wisdom of our Creator, but let us pray. Let us practice what we've been hearing from the saints regarding interior prayer. Let us bring our minds into our hearts when we fall into despair and anger about our brethren in Christ who are suffering. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Elder Perforius says that when we pray the Jesus Prayer, we are praying for everyone in need. And for those of us who are too sensitive to see the videos and photos, for they bring us too deeply into despair, let us refrain from viewing these things in order to stay strong in our heart for our persecuted ones and our family members. We are called by God not to hate our enemies, but to pray for them. We are called by God not to harden our hearts in the face of the temptations and trials that assail us. So let's complete this podcast today with a quote from St. Maximus the Confessor, who suffered much for Christ, and he suffered with love. When you read the account, and I suggest everyone read the full account of St. Maximus's life, he was so much like our Lord in that he loved all of those who persecuted him. All right, so let's hear from St. Maximus. And he's going to start with a quote from Paul. If I have prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith so as to remove mountains from one place to another, but I have not love, I am nothing. And if I dole out all my goods, and if I deliver up my body that I may be scourged, but I have not love, I am being profited nothing. Love is long-suffering. 1 Corinthians 13:2-3. It is in love that the whole Christian life is summarized and contained. Love is the preference of God to all creatures, even one's own body. Fraternal charity or love of neighbor, which is opposed to anger and self-love, advances the communal life of the church. All are equally loved. It is love that unites one with God and divinizes one. He who is perfect in love and has attained the summit of detachment knows no difference between mine and thine, between faithful and unfaithful, between slave and free man, between male and female. Having risen above the tyranny of the passions and looking to nature in all men, he considers all equally and is disposed equally towards all. For in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. Therefore, my dear listeners, let us go forth and do violence on the passions that well up in us in support of our suffering brethren. And this will be the subject of my next podcast, The Kingdom of Heaven is Taken by Violence. What is the difference between earthly violence and spiritual violence? Just a reminder about my blog found on my author's website, pearlofgreatpriceorthodox.com. That's pearlofgreatpriceorthodox.com. For those of you who would like to retain or download these quotes and some of my notes from this podcast, thank you, Holy Maccabees, Saint Maximus, and Saint Nikolai, and all the saints. And let us together pray for our persecuted brethren. How magnified are thy works, O Lord! In wisdom hast thou made them all, including you and me. In wisdom hast thou made them all. Until our next podcast, God bless you.
You've been listening to Pearls of Great Price with Veronica Hughes. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.